Welcome back into My Guys in the Desert. I'm Danielle Vary, still here at the VSiN Circus Studio. And of course, we still have Matt Eumanns and Tim Murray hostage at the South Point Sportsbook. And a lot more to talk about right here on My Guys. So you guys know I love my games. We have a lot to talk about with the Super Bowl coming up. And we're going to talk about it ad nauseum. But what happens after, right, in the offseason? Where are some of these quarterbacks headed? Now, I was going to start with Aaron Rodgers, but I think we've pretty much decided he's probably not going anywhere. So I'm going to pick one that's a little bit less obvious. And of course, I'm joking when I say Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Next year's odds already up for the 2022 Super Bowl. They're 11-1 for next year's Super Bowl. What do you think Tom Brady does after this Super Bowl? Tim, let's start with you.
I think he plays another year. You look at his numbers, Danielle. He was one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL this year. So he signed a two-year deal. All indication was it wasn't going to be a one-and-done situation. I guess if he wins it, maybe he walks off into the sunset. Nope. But I don't think he will. I don't think he will. I also hope he loses because I'm going to be on the Chiefs. But yeah, Tom Brady's playing, I believe, next year for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Danielle says, what's Tom Brady going to do after the Super Bowl? I hope he goes home and he's gutted and he's crying because the Buccaneers lost to the Chiefs. And then he comes back and he plays one or two more years. I wouldn't be surprised if Brady plays two more years.
45.
With the Bucks?
Yeah. Why not? Right. He had 40 TD passes and 12 picks this year. If he was a younger quarterback with those numbers, he would be hyped like Deshaun Watson. He had a really good year. Obviously, his arm strength, his downfield passing is not the same. But I think he can play two more years.
All right. I forgot to mention what the name of this game was. I know Matt loves when I name the games. This one's called Move On or Make It Work. So Tom Brady going to make it work with the Bucks. What about Deshaun Watson and the Texans? Time to move on or make it work?
I think they'll want to make it work. That's what Sean Salisbury kind of indicated earlier, but I think they'll move on. Nick Caserio there running things for the Houston Texans, and they'll be able to get quite the haul. They don't have a first or second round pick. I think the Jets will go hard after this, I think Deshaun Watson will move. They will move on from Deshaun Watson.
I'm going to say move on, and I recognize Deshaun Watson's talent. He's one of the great young quarterbacks in the NFL, face of the franchise. He's going to be a future superstar if he's not already. But still, this is here's the key. This is a really deep quarterback draft, so you can get a ton in return if you trade Deshaun Watson, and you can rebuild your entire program and still find a franchise quarterback in this draft. I think it's a perfect time to trade a guy like Watson because this quarterback draft is so deep, and that's why I would advocate for the trade. I know a lot of people say, you're crazy. You can't trade a guy like Deshaun Watson. No way. Yes, you can when you're going to get that much in return and you see the talent in this upcoming quarterback draft.
All right, what about elsewhere in Texas? Dak Prescott of the Cowboys. They're actually 28-1 to win next year's Super Bowl. Make it work or move on, Tim?
I think they'll make it work. You saw how much this team dropped off without him, and they'll end up paying Dak Prescott. They should have never paid Zeke Elliott, but they did, so they have to deal with that. But I think they make it work. I think Dak Prescott will be a Cowboy next year.
Make it work. Jerry Jones loves Dak Prescott, and I don't think there's any doubt. Jones probably should have signed Dak to a deal last year. Didn't get it done. He's going to end up paying the price. Jerry always overpays for his stars, and he's going to bring Dak back. They'll make it work. Danielle, I love this game. Can we play the second half of this game tomorrow?
Absolutely, we can. We did not get through all the people we needed.
We still have a long list here. I was going to say save the second half for tomorrow. Yeah.
Oh, we have a lot more to work through. Let me pick one off here. Jameis Winston and the Saints. What do you think? Make it work or move on?
I think you make it work. Drew Brees is going to retire, and he's a nice security blanket to have. Do the Saints go out and get a rookie quarterback? As Matt has mentioned, very deep quarterback draft. I think at minimum five quarterbacks go in the first round. So do the Saints get a quarterback there? I think that Jameis Winston is a good backup option to have, and I think you can get him on the cheap. So I think the Saints will make it work with Jameis.
This is a tricky one. I'm gonna say make it work because I think Jameis Winston should be the Saints' starting quarterback, and Taysom Hill should be used in the same gimmick role that he has been used in support of Drew Brees. So I would bring Winston back as the starter and Taysom Hill to compliment him, but I'm not sure what Sean Payton's got up his sleeve.
I love that you guys are so positive. You always want to make it work. Stick with us. More to talk about right here on My Guys. This is My Guys in the Desert, hour two kicking off. Danielle Alvari here at the VSiN Circus Studio, Matt Humans and Tim Murray at the South Point Sportsbook, and joining us shortly, DraftKings Sportsbook Director Johnny Avello. Matt?
All right, Danielle, for the record, I said move on when talking about Deshaun Watson.
So I
We both did. We both said move on.
Yeah, we're not trying to make that one work, so it was not unanimous. We'll play the second half of that game on tomorrow's show. Bring Johnny Avello on in a second. Update the Super Bowl line again. Chiefs -3, -173 on the money line. Buccaneers take back +153, total of 56.5. That's here at the South Point. And Tim, I don't think we're going to see much movement in that number, even through the weekend. Maybe we'll be sitting here in these same seats next week with the number at about the same spot, because you're not get a lot of public play on the Super Bowl until the game gets a lot closer. We're still, how many days out? 10 or 11, 12
yeah.
days out?
And if you had some early day college hoop action, Temple, a slight upset winner, beat Tulsa 76-67, went off as a 1.5-point dog. And early second half, a little Missouri Valley action for your weekday. Indiana State now up by 6 over Southern Illinois. They went off as a 6-point favorite here at the South Point.
A lot of college hoops to talk about. We have Johnny Avello, DraftKings Sportsbook Director, with us now, as he is every Tuesday. Johnny, great to see you again this week. What can you report in terms of Super Bowl wagering from the first couple of days since you put up the number at Chiefs -3.5?
We're a little heavy on the Chiefs, and we're heavy on the over so far, and it's early. And we've got inquiries for multiple huge bets this year. This is going to be one heck of a Super Bowl as far as the right goes, guys. I mean, we just added two more states. We added Michigan and Virginia this weekend. Our handle on the AFC-NFC championship games was just incredible. I mean, it exceeded expectations. So I just noticed Super Bowl is going to be an over-the-top huge right.
And if I hadn't moved out here, Johnny, I would be making about a 35-minute drive across that Virginia state line and firing up a DraftKings app right now. But fortunately, I'm here in Vegas and don't have to make that excursion. Let's go back to the weekend. How did you guys do with the Buccaneers winning outright? A couple books in town took me and Matt's money on that, and then the Chiefs winning and covering the number as well.
Well, the Chiefs out of the two games was slightly a bigger right, but you know, like I said, they were both, you know, record handles for us. The first game, the Green Bay game, we did well. And then in the second game, we kind of broke out even, I'd say. So overall for the day, we had a profit and we're kind of happy with the results.
Johnny, when it comes to and DraftKings, if you pull up the website, there's so many offerings, but one that always gets talked about, and you guys have it juiced at -103, what will be the right on the coin toss, which is always something people want to bet on?
It's going to get bet, and it's going to handle a fair amount of money, and to be honest with you, maybe it's the best bet. It's a coin flip and you just put it down a low amount of juice. And then if you win, you're done. And if you lose, you go home and that's it. But rather than watching a whole game and, getting frustrated during the game. So, right. Isn't it? People are going to be frustrated during this game and some are going to come out very happy.
He might have a point there. I sat through 3.5 hours of torture watching the Buccaneers-Packers game. Maybe you should just bet on the coin flip, and you get paid off immediately if you call it right. John, when are you going to put up props? Do you have some up? Do you have some props up now? And when are you going to have your full list of Super Bowl props up at DraftKings?
We got a bunch up right now, Matt. We got passing yards up, TD passes. We've got, first touchdown score. We've got Buccaneers total points first half. We've got up a lot of props right now. We got more up than some places will do for the whole game. But then we're going to add a lot more. So I don't think people are disappointed when they go to our site right now and start navigating around.
I'm looking at it right now, Matt.
All right, don't tell me Mahomes passing yards yet. I want to bring this up quickly.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes, this is from NFL on CBS. Mahomes already has more playoff games with three or more passing touchdowns than John Elway, Terry Bradshaw, Troy Aikman, Big Ben, and Steve Young, and he's 25 years old. So Mahomes is going to be a popular player in prop bets in the Super Bowl. Passing touchdowns, passing yards. The first time he faced the Buccaneers in Week 12 in Tampa, these numbers are insane, Tim. 37 for 49, 462 yards, 3 TDs, no picks. He was sacked twice. What numbers?
You guess. What do you think the number is set at? Well, so I'll give you the touchdowns. Touchdowns at DraftKings right now.
I hope it's 2.5.
It's 2.5, juice to the over, minus 130, under plus 105.
That's what I would have guessed.
What
two and a half, you got to pay the over price on touchdowns. For yards, I'm going to say Mahomes is going to be at 334.
325 and a half.
Good bookmaker right there, that Matt Yoakes.
It's like he's been doing this for a while, Johnny.
Yeah, that's right. Matt's been doing it for a while, too. He's seen enough numbers.
So Johnny, you think this this handle is just going to be off the hook, huh?
I really do. Yeah. Not only because nothing's bigger than the game itself, and not because we're in 12 states now. Just the matchup is just extraordinary. And so I think people are just really looking forward to this huge game, as well as they did every single playoff game leading up to it. I don't see how this tails off.
When you opened this 3.5 Chiefs on Sunday night, were you anticipating a little more Chiefs action, or were you a little bit surprised to see the market number, especially here in Nevada, drop so quickly to 3?
Yeah, we were anticipating Chiefs money, and we've bounced around between 3.5 and 3 twice so far, and so we've got to stop that because that's those are dangerous moves. So hopefully we're going to just settle in and just stay at one area, because I don't mind bouncing off around 4.5 or 5, but 3 or 3.5 to me is – you can't sleep at night with that type of movement.
Have you taken any big bets yet, or all the big bets still yet to come?
Oh, they're all yet to come. Okay. There's been some decent ones. I mean, there's good solid five-figure bets, but the big ones are yet to come.
You know, we're talking to Johnny Avello from DraftKings, of course, and Johnny, something that Matt has talked about, and I might just grab his coattails and ride him on this one as well. I'm looking at DraftKings money line right now, Chiefs minus 162, Bucks plus 143. Just chatting with Vinny yesterday here in studio, he felt like there's going to be a lot of Buccaneers money line coming in, and he anticipated that line to drop a little bit, maybe not the spread, but the money line. Do you think we're going to see that money line for the Chiefs to drop?
I do. The money line traditionally in the Super Bowl never equates to the spread because the dog is played heavily. It seems that way every single year. I remember one time the 49ers were huge point spread, like double digits. Should have been a 6 or 7 to 1, and it was down around 350. So It just never equates to the spread. And we know that as bookmakers. A lot of times we'll keep it down low. In this particular instance, we have it right where it should be, and it'll get driven down by the players.
All right, again, first time these teams played in Week 12, 27-24. It was 27-10 going to the fourth quarter. Chiefs led. They were 3.5-point favorites, and Brady rallied the Bucs in the back door with two touchdowns in the fourth, 51 points on the board. The total in this game, Johnny, right now the same as it was in the regular season, 56.5. Where do you think the total? You opened this 50. Did you open 57.5? And where do you think this total might move, or where it's going to close?
That's where it's going back to. It's going back to 57. It's going back to 57 or 57.5 by game time. I mean, the sharps always like to bet under, right, Matt? I mean, they have an excuse to bet under 57.5. It's a key number, and it's just a lot of points. But once the the unsophisticated better start playing this game. You know the sharps can't bet enough to keep this number from moving under.
How will you guys do in the futures market? How much liability do you have on Tampa Bay?
Oh, we're in terrific shape.
Oh, okay.
The Bucks are a 7-figure loss, and the Chiefs are a 6-figure loss. So we're in good shape on that.
All right. We got plenty of time to talk Super Bowl. We'll do
he
that again.
He wants to talk golf, Johnny.
We're going to talk golf, Johnny. This one,
I'll just sit back and let you guys go at it.
I love the West Coast swing. The opening to the golf year is one of my favorite times. So this week's Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines north of San Diego. Great course. The longest layout, Johnny, on the PGA Tour. But I don't think you can just look for bombers this weekend. And we talked with Wes Reynolds in the previous hour about this. There are a lot of guys who have some years of course history here, and a lot of players who will draw your interest as long shots this week. Now, you and I were both on Abraham Answer last week. He finished top five. He didn't quite get to the win column, but he played well. John Rahm, your favorite this week? Rahm and McIlroy, and who do you like?
I like a couple of guys that are in the 30 to 35 range, Matt. I like Matthew Wolf, and I like Jason Day. And the reason I like these two guys this week is because they both played in the tournament last year and they did okay, but they had a really poor first round and finished strong in the last three. So that's the main reason I like those two guys this week.
Well, Jason Day is one of those guys with great course history here. He's a former winner at Torrey Pines. And Wes Reynolds on with us. He likes Matthew Wolf, and he also likes Jason Day. So you guys are on the same wavelength there. Is John Rahm your favorite right now? Do you have him at about plus 650?
We got him at 710.
Okay.
We got Rory at 875, second choice, Schauffele at 12, Finau at 17, and of course, you know, it goes up into 20s and north after that.
How's the golf handle been here the first month?
Yeah, good, man. I was anticipating another good golf year. Golf's a great sport now to bet because not only the future book, but all these other offerings we put up, the top five, the top 10. If you want to bet an exacta, you can really make a score. And then the in-game wagering has really picked up because, you know, now we have every hole, will they birdie, will they hit the fairway? And you know, the action on in-game has been over the top good.
All right, this is going to be a good tournament this weekend, too, and there might be some rain and wind to contend with for the players on Thursday and Friday on the California coast. We've seen some strange weather here in Las Vegas this week. Winter weather. I know Tim Murray enjoys posting videos on Twitter. Look at me. I'm in Las Vegas. It's snowing.
What's the deal? I moved from Maryland. I had my fair share of snow back east. I move here, and I'm getting snow. What? I didn't sign up for this.
Well, Timmy, where you live is near me, and we're up higher elevation. And so at that higher elevation, it gets down to 30s at night. And if there's any chance for, you know, any precipitation at all, there's a chance of snow. So maybe you ought to go down lower to the desert floor instead of being up higher up here in the mountains.
Well, now that I know that Matt enjoys those videos and those pictures so much, I'm just going to continue to put them out just to please my partner.
Well, I spent an hour this morning watching videos that you and Mitch Moss put
up. Mitch Moss had a lot of snow.
Mitch had to dig his car out of a snowdrift and everything like that. So now we found out that Johnny Avello and Tim Murray live in the same high-income neighborhood up in the hills above Las Vegas. Johnny, what are you seeing on the NBA board tonight? The Clippers are going to be severely shorthanded against the Hawks. We're not sure if Trae Young's going to play, but it looks like Hawks minus 6.
Yeah, we're heavy on the Hawks now, Matt. I was just looking at that game. We're about 70% high, 70 to 30 on the money on the Hawks. The Rocket game, I saw we were really heavy on the Rockets over the Wizards. And they're betting the Knicks again tonight. They bet the Knicks against Portland the other night. They were down 20 the whole game and ended up covering. So they're taking them at 11.5 tonight. So that's where the money is on those three games.
Johnny, preseason, it was Luka Doncic who was the favorite, I think, everywhere to win MVP. Where are you guys right now in MVP coming off of what we saw LeBron do last night? 46 points, just an incredible effort. So where are you guys in the futures pool for MVP at DraftKings?
I think he's still the favorite, unless it changed today, Matt. I think he's still the favorite.
Doncic or LeBron?
Yeah. Okay. No. Doncic is like 5-1. I think LeBron's right there, though, with him. LeBron was about
looks like
8 or 10. I think he's even with him now or close to it.
Yeah, it looks like he's at 5-1. How does your MVP pool look right now? Are people firing on LeBron, Luka? Who do you guys want to see win that MVP?
Giannis isn't getting played at all. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant's certainly taken some money over the last couple of weeks. Embiid's taken quite a bit of money too. So I'd say those are the two guys, Embiid and Durant, and now LeBron taking most of the money as of late.
All right, Johnny, thanks for jumping on again this week. We'll catch up with you again next Tuesday. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Johnny Avello, DraftKings Sportsbook Director. Tim, we've got some personnel news to talk about in college hoops in the Oklahoma Texas game tonight, and top plays up next. Do you think we've got a couple winners tonight?
I hope so. We also have some breaking baseball news when it comes to the Hall of Fame. Who's in and who's not in?
Oh boy, I can't wait. Stay tuned for that.
Did you bet on that?
Can't
who would be
wait.
In?
Can't wait.
2021 class.
In the Hall of Fame.
Welcome back in. I'm Danielle Avari. If you haven't tried BetRivers.com yet, they're giving you a special $500 offer to try their best-in-class online sportsbook and casino. Right now, you can get a $100 in free bonus money when you deposit $100 with the code BIGGAME500. Then, if you make real money bets of $100 or more on the big game between Kansas City and Tampa Bay, you'll unlock $400 more in bonus money. There's never been a better time to become a member at BetRivers. Go to BetRivers.com today to play with a winner. Must be 21 or older. Let's get back to my guys in the desert with Matt Eumanns and Tim Murray.
All right, Danielle, any top plays from you? You have a lot of fans out there. You gave away, you gave out a winner or two last week in hockey.
Yeah.
Yes. Hockey has been doing well for me. I may put in another hockey bet tonight. I'm looking at the San Jose Sharks Avalanche game. Considering a moneyline play on the Sharks, but haven't pulled the trigger on that yet. And still recovering from my Packers losses over the weekend.
It's going to take a long time to recover from that.
Yes.
It's not ideal. Not ideal. Let's lift the people up, man. Let's lift the people. Oh, by the way.
Monster hockey schedule tonight, by the way. I want to mention it quickly. San Jose, an underdog at Colorado. Avalanche, -$2. And also tonight, Vegas in action at home, -150 or so over St. Louis. That's a big-time game tonight. The total, 5.5 or 6, depending where you look, on the Blues and the Knights. Tim?
And if you had the over-under, the number set at 0.5, the under cashes, no players inducted into the Hall of Fame. Curt Schilling, 16 votes shy. I know Matt was waiting with bated breath. How many players would get into the Hall of Fame this year?
Couldn't care less.
Ever been to Cooperstown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Many, many years ago. But I think all that stuff, baseball history's kind of been tainted by what's happened over the past 20 or 25 years.
Yeah.
Don't care as much about it as I used to. Do you think guys like Bonds, do you think a guy like Clemens or Pete Rose should get Hall of Fame consideration?
I do. Yeah. I do. They were the best at their time. But, hey.
Is Bud Selig in the Hall of Fame? Because if he's in there, then it ruins the whole thing.
Yeah. I don't think he is, nor should he be.
Okay. All right, let's get to top plays. Tim, did not go according to plan last night.
No.
UNLV ruined your money line parlay. Well, I guess we could say Utah State ruined it because the Aggies just played poorly.
Oh, 59-56 was the final. And for anyone who watched this game instead of the Texas Tech West Virginia game. I'm sorry, because I did, and it was horrible. There was a couple instances where Utah State, they had a breakaway layup, Matt, and they just lost the ball in the air. And multiple missed opportunities. Mm-hmm. I believe they shot 20% from the field in the second half. So Utah State falls, and as does the money line parlay. Should have just taken Virginia, laying the points, which I didn't. Tonight, you know what? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, Matt. So we're going back to it. What could go wrong fading a team that is 11-0 ATS in the Drake Bulldogs? But I like Missouri State. They're at home catching points, and they've been overlooked a little bit. Isaiah Mosley, their sophomore guard, averaging 23.5 points per game. Drake has not beaten a team ranked better than 145 in KenPom this year, of the 311th strongest schedule so far this season. And they're coming off a COVID break, have not played in over 2 weeks. So I will take the points with the home team in Missouri State. Would have loved a four. But it didn't get there, so we'll take the 3.5 and hope the Bears take care of business tonight against the Drake Bulldogs.
You know, and if they don't, this is one of those back-to-back situations, right, in the Missouri Valley.
Play
so
again
if, if they don't and they play again, I think you can come back and bet Missouri State again.
Yeah. It's.
But hopefully you get the win tonight.
Let's hope.
You don't have to do that.
Yeah, let's hope. Yeah, so tonight at home, Missouri State.
If you think Utah State was poor offensively last night, you should have watched the first half of the Arizona State-Arizona game. Sun Devils put on one of the worst offensive displays you are ever going to see. They trailed 12-0 out of the gate, 26-6. Twice in the first 5 minutes, they had a guard drive the lane and throw up a floater from 5 feet that was an air ball. They were throwing the ball directly to defenders. It was just a clumsy offensive display. Yeah, I had Arizona State plus 4.5. It ended up being an 80-67 loss, but Sun Devils had 18 points at halftime. I did take Texas Tech plus 2 last night, but when we did top plays, it had moved to a pick 'em, so I decided to take it off.
Smart move.
Fortunately, because they blew a 12-point lead and lost by 1. I've got a couple for tonight. Talk more about them in a minute. Pittsburgh plus 3.5 over North Carolina, and Oklahoma plus 4.5 over Texas. A couple key players going to be out for the Longhorns tonight, along with Coach Shaka Smart. We'll talk about that more next here on My Guys in the Desert.
I'm Danielle Avari. We're gearing up for the big game here at VSiN, and of course, keeping you up to date on every other sports betting opportunity on the board. And this week, we've updated our programming lineup. The Lombardi line is now 2 hours every weekday from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern. And we're excited to introduce The Nuts with Mike Palm and Amal Shaw at 2 p.m. Eastern every weekday. We also have our special big game preview show with Brent Musburger coming soon to get you ready for all the Super Bowl betting and prop action. You can always find our lineup on VSiN.com or in your daily VSiN subscriber email. And make sure to check out The Nuts weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern right here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Welcome back into the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now let's get back to your hosts, Matt Eumanns and Tim Murray.
Okay, Danielle's really promoting this show, The Nuts. She seems to be a big fan.
What's not to love?
Did you watch it the past couple days?
I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Outstanding. I'm all in.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite features.
Winner yesterday.
Amal Shaw with his play of the
Oklahoma
day.
Oklahoma State yesterday.
Yeah.
And
Okie State, an easy winner. Mike Palm with a two-unit soccer winner right off the bat.
Boom.
Yeah.
Winners.
I want winners. Hopefully we can get a couple tonight. I got 4.5 with Oklahoma against Texas. Paul Stone reported this. So we know Shaka Smart is out with the COVID-19 issue. Courtney Ramey, the number 2 scorer for the Longhorns, apparently out tonight. Jericho Sims, also a key guy on the front line for the Longhorns. Averages 8 points, 6.5 rebounds a game. Ramey and Sims apparently out tonight with one other player. Looks like Brock Cunningham. So three players could be out for Texas in this game. I was leaning to Oklahoma anyway, so I went ahead and took the points here.
Yeah, and we talked about it, you know, before the earlier in the show. There was reports out there, and as you mentioned, Paul Stone bringing it home, that there was some contract tracing and there would be some Texas players out. And now the number has adjusted down to four. So Matt giving out a better number just a little bit ago. Another game, Matt.
I learned from Danielle.
I know.
She always gets the best number.
She is wise among her years in grabbing the best number. Another game, Matt, and we hit on a little bit with Wes Reynolds. St. Louis is coming off a month of a COVID break. If you played it last night and you just saw the number, it opened 10.5 at some spots. And I grabbed it. I didn't give it out on the show here. I like this St. Louis team a lot. Was able to play them earlier in the year. They beat LSU when we did our preseason betting guide. You know, the A-10 was one of my conferences, and I was very high on St. Louis. But they've been off the court since December 23rd, and back out on the floor, and laying a pretty big number. Dayton did get hammered over the weekend by VCU. Mm-hmm. So interesting spot tonight. Another team coming off a COVID break. You know, I gave out Missouri State hosting Drake tonight. Drake coming off 2 weeks plus. And it's kind of been hit or miss, right? Because we, you know, Clemson has fallen apart since returning from their COVID break. They have given up 80 points in the last three games, but we've seen other teams off of COVID breaks play all right. Georgia Tech was one of those who had a COVID stoppage and came out and won their first game.
It's kind of like 50-50. Isn't
yeah.
it? I thought Villanova was rusty as we anticipated off the COVID
Seton
break.
Seton Hall covered their number.
Yep. So it'll be interesting to see how the Billikens play. They have not played since December 23rd when they handled the Missouri-Kansas City Kangaroos, which is not easy to do.
UMKC.
All right.
You don't mess around with them.
Dayton's been a really inconsistent team this year. I guess a head-scratching loss to Fordham, even shorthanded.
Whose coach,
should
coach
not lose
resigned
to
today.
Uh-huh.
That is a job that is just impossible. You can't win at Fordham. No one can win at Fordham.
Is that a music school?
I think it's more of a broadcasting school, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
Never been there. I'd like to
the
see,
Bronx.
I'd like to see a game in that gym sometime.
Yeah, that's like a cool gym. Yeah.
Not far from Yankee Stadium, correct?
Yeah, right in the Bronx, yeah.
Speaking of that, Jen Mill Phil from New York, one of our listeners, viewers.
What has he got?
He has not checked in with a play today. Come on, Phil, what's up? I actually think he's still ticked off because he had the Packers Buccaneers first half under 27.
Oh, no. Oh.
It's tough to bounce back from that one.
That one was tough. That's. I didn't watch. I missed Bad Beats last night on Van Pelt Center, but it had to have been mentioned because that's an all timer right there. Jen Mill Phil is a big NEC guy, and I love the NEC too. It's it's fun to bet that conference. Another one of those conferences, the back to backs. We have so we'll see if Jen Mill Phil has anything on the Sacred Heart St. Francis game, or sorry, Fairleigh Dickinson St. Francis game tonight.
We'll
wait and we'll see if he's got any thoughts on that.
This came courtesy. I talked to text with a lot of people who bet college hoops, are very sharp, trade information every day, and this group is really sharp. Of course, they were on Arizona State with me last night, so we were sharp as a spoon on that one. They are on Fairleigh Dickinson.
Ooh.
Plus, they took the 5.
Okay, it's down to 4.5.
Right.
Yeah, the red flashes.
Took the 5 with the Fairleigh Dickinson side.
Knights.
That's that's the added board. 307-001.
We cover everything on this show, Matt. Everything.
By the way, have you ever listened to the Greg Peterson College Hoops podcast?
Yes.
Have you listened to him break down games on the rotation?
Of course.
It's something unique. He talks like an auctioneer. He runs through every game on the rotation without taking a breath, and it's unlike anything else.
I like what he's doing now. I'll give him props. He's posting his number instead of his crazy amount of tweets. Well, Greg's just posting his number on a spreadsheet now. So I think
somebody might have suggested to him that he do that.
Yeah. Was that you?
No. Somebody might have suggested that. I don't think it's a good idea to put out a play on every game, side and total. Baseball, Korean baseball, NFL, every sport. You can't do that. But you can put out your numbers on every game and let people make up their own decisions because these numbers move all over the place, and you're not always going to get the best number on a game.
GP had, I think, Missouri State laying a point. So, all right, let's go Bears.
Tennessee has been a team, Tim, that's a little difficult to figure out, mm-hmm. too. Vols off a couple of losses, blowout to Florida, at Florida, and a 73-64 loss to Missouri over the weekend. We got to talk about a couple of these SEC games. Tennessee, a 9.5-point home favorite over Mississippi State tonight. And also in the SEC, I think this line confused some people. Auburn, 2.5 over Missouri. We'll talk about those games next.
And Alabama, Kentucky, that line's been on the move too.
It's a big night in the SEC. LSU might be another side to look at as a road favorite tonight. We'll talk about those games next here on My Guys in the Desert as we wrap up the show today. It's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back, My Guys in the Desert from the South Point Sportsbook on a Tuesday. Matt Eumanns and Tim Murray. And, Tim, let's talk some more college hoops. That sounds like a good thing to do. Wrap up the show, and it's a big night in the SEC. We're going to hit as many spots on the board as we can before the end of the show. What do you make of the Tennessee Volunteers' recent problems? I know a lot of people, a lot of sharp bettors were really high on this team. The past two games, the wheels seem to have fallen off the Vols a little bit.
Yeah, and the Florida game, more specifically last Tuesday, Tennessee was in Gainesville. Florida's a team that really has struggled offensively, Matt, and they just got hammered. They looked like they didn't even want to be on the floor.
That was strange.
That night with Florida. Lost 75-49, followed that up with a 73-64 loss this weekend at home to Missouri. So, yeah, this is a Tennessee team that, as the year was going on, they lose to Alabama in a game I thought they would win at home. Maybe that raised my eyebrows a little bit more about Alabama because they got off that slow start. But I have no idea what to think of this Tennessee team right now. Mississippi State, they have not been very good this year. So at 9.5 at home, This is a sit back and evaluate type of situation. I don't know if I want to lay the points with a team that is really seems like they're dragging a little bit, Matt.
Yeah, I don't want to touch Tennessee in this game. 9.5, a little bit too much to lay. Low total in this one too. 127.5. Mississippi State, Tennessee. Let's go down on the rotation to Kentucky and Bama. And I considered taking 8.5 with Kentucky last night. Didn't do it. This number has dropped. It is now Bama 7, 6.5 at some spots. High total of 148. Obviously, when these teams met a couple of weeks ago,
Bama crushed them.
It was embarrassment in favor of Alabama. That game was 85-65 on January 10th. Keon Brooks is back for Kentucky. They had a nice win over LSU over the weekend. I actually had about a 4 or 5-game losing streak myself betting SEC games, but I played Kentucky over LSU, got a winner there. Bama 8-0 in the SEC, averaging 82 points a game. John Petty can go off at any time. Nate Oates has done a great job with this team, especially in SEC play, because Bama had a couple of head-scratching losses in the non-conference, too. But this is a team to watch. But it looks like sharp money on Kentucky here, Tim.
Yeah, this game was as you mentioned, 8.5? Yeah. And now has come down. There's sevens out there. So if you like Alabama.
You can get a
pretty good price on Alabama. You know, the reason this game worries me is I do wonder, Matt, and I ended up betting Kentucky last time they played Alabama, and they got hammered at Rupp Arena. And the reason I did was it felt like Kentucky was figuring things out, right? They had that big win over Florida, and then 2 days later they were at home taking on Alabama, and they lose by 20. So this one in Tuscaloosa, it's a big number, but this Alabama team right now, a lot of people were high on them preseason. Losses to Stanford, Clemson, Western Kentucky. Right now, unblemished, though, in the SEC. 8-0, been rolling, scoring a ton of points. So I'll pass on this one, but I know Amal Shaw, I saw on his on the show earlier today, he liked he took the points with Kentucky. I think he got it 8.5 earlier today.
He's Amal in.
And
I'm all in on Kentucky.
He is, so we will see with this one.
All right, Missouri at Auburn. I saw some people on Twitter, or at least a couple tweets, people said, "What, this line looks weird." And, you know, you think Auburn, the way the Tigers have played since Sharif Cooper has stepped on the floor recently, that might be a little bit more of a favorite against Missouri, but the Tigers get a lot of respect in the betting market. Auburn minus 2.5. We're seeing some threes pop at a couple of places, but if you think a line looks weird, look at KenPom.com,
yep,
and it can explain it. Ken Pomeroy's website, a lot of times the numbers are based off his projections. He projected Missouri 74-73 in this game.
Yeah, so KenPom has Missouri winning this game. Auburn coming off of just a thumping of South Carolina this weekend, 109-86. So people think they might be riding high. But, yeah, this is a Missouri team, Matt. You know, speaking of Tennessee, they just beat Tennessee. They beat that same South Carolina team. So they've been playing some good basketball here as of late. But, yeah, KenPom has Missouri as a one-point favorite. So you've got a bit of a discrepancy there in the market. Usually it's a pretty tight between KenPom and what the number ultimately is. And here, KenPom has it, Missouri minus one, and this in the market is Auburn minus 2.5.
What do you think of Sharif Cooper of Auburn? Yeah, I had a chance to watch him play.
I haven't seen much of him yet, yeah.
Check him out. Check him out, seriously.
Yeah.
Kid's a little wizard. Fun to watch. All right, let's go to LSU and Texas A&M. I was tempted to lay the points here with the Tigers on the road. A&M, one of the worst teams in the SEC, but I'd opted ultimately not to lay the five. So Tigers minus 5, total of 140 in College Station.
Yeah, LSU.
Looks like maybe 5.5 here at the South Point now.
And LSU in a bit of a downstretch here.
Yep.
Last week at home against Alabama, gave up 105 points. I think Alabama dropped 60. I think they were up 60-31 in the first half against LSU.
That's a weakness
last Tuesday.
Don't you think that's a weakness of Will Wade's teams? Not very good defensively.
Terrible defensively.
This team is not good defensively.
Offensively, top 10 in offensive efficiency, number 6. But defensively, 135 in defensive efficiency this year for the Bayou Bengals. So a pretty sizable number. Once again, KenPom has this at 6. So If you subscribe to the KenPom gospel, that's where it's at. And there are other people. I know Steve Mackinnon has numbers as well. But yeah, this seems like maybe a bounce back opportunity here for Texas A&M. Buzz Williams' squad 2-5 this year in SEC play. Just lost to Mississippi over the weekend, so Texas A&M hasn't really been playing all that well. Their two wins so far: Mississippi State and Auburn in conference play.
KenPom projected Tulsa a 3-point winner over Temple today. Ooh. Didn't go that way.
Temple
got
the
win. 76-67 went the Owls' way. Khalif Battle with a big game, double-double for Temple. Now, over the weekend, you told me maybe I should respect Georgia Tech more.
Yep.
Because Tech probably should have beat Virginia. Mm-hmm. And you and I have been bragging about how well the Cavs have been playing currently. Georgia Tech at Duke tonight. KenPom projects Duke by 5. And Duke a 6-point favorite, Tim, at 5-5.
I thought about taking the points here with Georgia Tech. You know, Georgia Tech, they had a COVID break. They come back and mop the floor with Clemson, and that win may not look as impressive anymore, Matt, because Clemson has really fallen apart defensively, went from number one to, I think, number 25 in defensive efficiency. But Georgia Tech, you know, this past weekend on the road at JPJ, John Paul Jones Arena, and they were leading the majority of that game before ultimately falling to UVA, a UVA team that cruised last night against Syracuse and really has been playing well offensively. And Georgia Tech had their number over the weekend. So Georgia Tech, I think, has an opportunity here to make a pretty big statement, Matt. And, you know, you look back at what they've done so far. They beat North Carolina before their COVID break, right before the new year. It's a handful of points for a Duke team that just hasn't been that impressive. But it almost feels like a little bit of a trap that we fell into back in December, where Duke was playing poorly. They were laying a decent-sized number on the road at Notre Dame, and won that game comfortably.
Wasn't Jalen Johnson out that night, too, for Duke?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was... Matt Hurt played very well for Duke over the weekend in the loss against Louisville. Duke riding a three-game losing streak. But, you know, all three of those games, losses on the road by single digits. So it's not like they've played horribly. No. They should have beat Pittsburgh. I mean, they're a better team than Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh, you know, with Champagne down low, dominated them. But, yeah, Matthew Hurt played extremely well, shot the ball well, went 4 of 5 from three over the weekend. So I passed, but I thought about taking the points here with Georgia Tech.
Duke's best win, without question, at Notre Dame, 75-65.
That's not good.
And that was a loss for you and I. We had the points with the Fighting Irish that night. Second best win for Duke?
Boston College.
There really is none.
Yeah. I mean, they're
Duke's
not
5-5 with one good win. And it's going to be interesting to see which way this team goes. It's a two-game homestand now. Georgia Tech and a Clemson team that has just collapsed recently.
Yeah, and Duke has to have an opportunity for all the Dukies out there to make a run. And if they can get into the tournament, they still have home games against Clemson, North Carolina. They have a home and home against. They play Virginia. They have another chance against Louisville. So they've got an opportunity to rack up some wins. But yeah, as of now, 5-5, no real good win to their resume. I think the Notre Dame win is maybe a quad two win, probably quad three. It did come on the road, so that helps them out a little bit. But yeah, Duke needs to start winning, and it needs to start tonight. They can't afford a home loss to Georgia Tech.
At Circus Sports, by the way, the Texas line is now down to 3. So hopefully you jumped in on that if you like the Oklahoma side. It was 4.5, now 3. And again, Courtney Ramey, one of the players out tonight. Courtney Ramey and Jericho Sims both reported out tonight for the Longhorns, along with Coach Shaka Smart in that Big 12 game. That one tips at 4 p.m. So we're about 5-10 minutes away from the tip of Oklahoma, Texas. Also, North Carolina Pitt. We've talked about that game. What do you make of SMU Memphis, if you make anything of it? Tigers, 2.5-point home favorites. And we'll see what Ken Pom projects.
2-point win for Ken Pom.
Yeah, so it's right on the number.
And this is a Memphis team. Kenny White last Thursday, Matt, gave out Memphis against Wichita State. They won that game by 20. So Memphis has been a pretty decent disappointment so far this year, Matt, but it seems like they're starting to find their own. Thumped East Carolina over the weekend. So a big spot for them at home today against the Ponies.
Butler-UConn, quick thought on that game with UConn, a 5.5-point home favorite. Low total, 122.
Butler's won two straight, Matt, and UConn has dropped two straight without Booknight. So the loss of Booknight, I would look towards the home dog a little bit here if I had to make a play, take the points of Butler.
All right, that's Big Red. Tim Murray will be back again tomorrow. My guys in the desert, stay tuned. Rush Hour next. I believe it's Danny Burke today. Then tonight, Long Shots, the world's number one rated golf betting show on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll be right back.